If it's not one thing, it's your mother. At least that was the case for me for years. I lived with the kind of anxiety that made me almost physically sick at the idea of disappointing someone or upsetting someone. I literally couldn't stand the idea that anyone didn't like me or felt like something about me was just not acceptable. This is probably because growing up, I believed that my value was fully dependent on the way my mother felt about me. This, of course, would continue well into my adult life, and if I'm being really honest here, that was a pretty dangerous place to base my self-worth, if you know what I mean. My mother, she wasn't super fond of the person I was or turned out to be, to put it mildly. I wonder if you can relate. Have you found yourself dealing with a narcissist or a toxic person who actively tore down your self-esteem or devalued you in some way? Did you find yourself struggling with anxiety and feeling just not good enough? Maybe even rejected? If so, you're going to want to stick around because today at queenbeing.com, I'm going to explain to you exactly why you feel this way and how it relates to your relationships with narcissists. See, there's a theory that might explain everything, including the way narcissists behave in relationships, as well as how you fit into all of this. It's called attachment theory. Plus, if you stick with me through the end of the video, I'm going to tell you the one thing that you really need to know to begin to change everything for yourself. So, let's get started. So, we're going to start out today with a brief overview of attachment theory, what it is, what it means. Attachment is defined as a deep and enduring emotional bond that connects one person to another person. Attachment theory basically helps us to understand our relationships and how our relationships with our mothers could affect us and our lifelong development, and even our relationships with others in really profound ways. In psychology, attachment theory, as we know it today, was first originated in 1958 when psychiatrist John Bowlby recognized the importance of a child's relationship with their mother. It turns out he realized that our emotional, social, and cognitive development are directly affected by our attachment to our mothers. Now, along with fellow researcher James Robertson, Bowlby found that children who were separated from their mothers would experience extreme distress. This would lead them to anxiety, and they assumed that this might have been related to the idea that their mothers fed and cared for them. But then they noticed that the separation anxiety would not diminish even when the kids were fed and cared for by other caregivers. Now, before this, the reason they thought this was because other researchers had sort of underestimated the bond between the child and the mother and assumed that the feeding of the infant was the thing that bonded the mother and the child. Well, Bowlby was the first to propose that attachment might be an evolutionary thing, as in, the child's caregiver is obviously the person who provides the child with safety, security, and food, so he thought being attached to the mother would increase a baby's chance of survival. Makes total sense to me. How about you? Now, if you are interested in learning more about attachment theory specifically, you can check out the links I'm going to leave for you in the description below. But I'm going to fill you in on what you need to know right now when it comes to dealing with a narcissist and what the attachment styles are. Speaking of which, what are the four attachment styles? Well, there are four primary attachment styles, like I said, including secure, anxious, preoccupied, dismissive, avoidant, and fearful avoidant, though there are some subtypes that have been identified. But for today, we're going to focus on just the four main attachment styles, which, for the record, sort of explain why families tend to see generations of healthy or unhealthy relationships repeating, and why it's so important for those of us who have grown up with toxic parents to intentionally change our own lives so that our children, if we do have any, can do better than we did in the future. We can change the generational curse, so to speak. So first, we're going to talk about secure attachment style. The secure attachment style is probably, if we're being honest, the most desirable one. It is where you feel comfortable and you feel connected to the person you're in a relationship with and where you trust them and you trust the integrity of the relationship. Basically, you feel secure in the relationship. Now, people who have this style of attachment probably grew up with healthy relationships with their parents, and they also felt secure enough in those relationships to explore the world and other people in it. They felt loved and supported in childhood. This helped those people grow up feeling safe to involve themselves in a variety of situations and activities, knowing that they could still always go home and get support and love from their parents. And their parents were likely also securely attached to their own parents, so this healthy pattern would continue through to the next generation. Good stuff, right? So that's ideal. But then there's the anxious, preoccupied attachment style. If you've ever met a hopeless romantic, you may have been talking to someone who had the anxious, preoccupied style. This person desperately wants to be connected to others. They crave the emotional intimacy that comes along with relationships. The only problem is that this person also has this idea that they want to jump ahead in the game, even if their partner's not ready for it. So they're likely to say, "I love you," a little too quickly, and they might push ahead in the relationship even when there are red flags everywhere. They need constant approval and they need reassurance from their partners. They feel anxious if they don't get those things. And they doubt their self-worth, probably because they need others to validate them. And when their sort of clingy behavior pushes away their partners, well, they might feel like they were right all along, as in maybe they really are worthless. They have a positive opinion of people around them, their peers, but not so much of themselves. Now, these people's parents may have intermittently met their needs, as in they were loved and cared for, but not on a consistent, predictable basis. Interestingly enough, this kind of person develops when their parent seems to need the child to meet their own emotional needs. So their mother might have been the type that thought to herself, well, nobody loves me, but if I have a baby, at least I'll have someone to love me. It doesn't work that way, but once again, you can see exactly how this might carry on throughout the generations. This brings me to the dismissive, avoidant attachment style. This is where you might actually find a narcissist. Someone with a dismissive, avoidant attachment style certainly appears to be emotionally independent and is likely often a little bit afraid of committing to a relationship with a single person long term. So they have commitment issues, right? They would have had parents who were either not around a lot or were negligent in their care in other ways. They might have been ignored or abandoned or undervalued in childhood. They felt rejected. They felt not good enough, they felt unwanted, and one or both parents might have been completely absent for this person. Their needs may have been partially served, but not fully. For example, maybe they got plenty of food and they were bathed on a regular basis, they had clean clothes, but nobody held them, or at least not often enough. They might also have been rejected by their peers as they got older, and they might have lived their lives feeling just not good enough entirely. This would leave them afraid to trust people in general, and as a result, they might be really likely to be dismissive of other people. They tend to cover up their insecurity with a sort of false sense of self-confidence. But when someone is dismissive, avoidant, and they manage to find a secure, loving relationship, and they take the time to work through their own issues, well, they actually can manage to have healthy relationships. But unfortunately, for most narcissists, they don't develop the emotional maturity to do that, and they stay stuck in that attachment style. Let's talk about the fearful, avoidant attachment style. Now, this person, they might always be dating the wrong people for them. And on the flip side, they might also end up rejecting people who might be a really great fit for them. It's kind of an interesting thing. They might find themselves feeling kind of normal in unhealthy relationships, where they feel the need to earn the other person's approval. And they feel scared or they feel threatened when something seems too good to be true, or when things are going toward a bigger commitment like marriage. This person's attachment style might lead them to actually sabotage a really good relationship in some cases, maybe because they are afraid it will end, and it might leave them feeling devastated. They struggle with jealousy and with distrust in relationships, even when it isn't warranted. This person probably grew up with parents who made it really clear that they were either unwanted or that they were not acceptable as they were. They can sort of be like a walking conundrum. They desperately want emotional intimacy, but they also push it away. They want to be in a committed relationship with the right person. They actively seek out the opposite, or they avoid relationships altogether out of a fear of straight up rejection. Now, psychologists say that this kind of attachment style can be kind of a combination of the dismissive, avoidant, and the anxious, preoccupied attachment styles. They also say that it's a result of dealing with a lot of trauma or loss in childhood. Like the dismissive, avoidant, the parents of this person may have been unable to fully meet their needs in infancy. They may have always, for example, been fed enough and wearing a clean diaper, but maybe they weren't held or interacted with enough, for example. They might also find themselves having really difficult relationships with their parents, or they might even become completely estranged from them in adulthood, as in no contact. Their parents may have been alcoholics or addicts or narcissists, and they may have been physically and/or emotionally abused. Now, which attachment style is yours? Let's talk about it. You personally might have any of these attachment styles, and you still could end up dealing with a narcissist. But those of us who end up in longer-term relationships with toxic people, well, we're most likely to fall into either the anxious, preoccupied, or the fearful, avoidant attachment styles. Now, if you have an anxious attachment style, you're going to find yourself completely bowled over by a narcissist. And that's because you might tend to have high anxiety responses to their behavior. Just think about it. If you have the anxious attachment style, well, then you're also going to have a tendency to be sort of emotionally hungry, if you get my drift. You might find yourself holding on to the idea of being deeply bonded with someone else, even when it's just a fantasy and not reality in your relationships. What I mean is that you might sort of self-invent a bond, or you might experience a trauma bond, but the bond that I'm talking about, your partner won't feel at the same time. And that's probably partially because of how you were not nurtured enough growing up. And you probably had at least one parent who didn't give you the love and the nurturing that you really needed as an infant. You've dealt with a lot of turbulence in your life, and you might have felt unloved or unwanted. So you might have a tendency to latch on and hold on for dear life when someone does show some kind of love for you. Now, narcissists will see this in you and they'll sense this, and that's why you become vulnerable to them, because they know how anxious you become. And that alone gives them the narcissistic supply that they need, which is why they see you as the perfect prey in a way. Since narcissists are known to have the avoidant attachment style, they can be relatively abusive, as you know, and they will always find faults in you. They will place blame on you, since some people with the avoidant attachment style can't take responsibility for their behavior. The more they do this, the more you become anxiety-ridden, and your bond with them will disappear if the vicious cycle keeps going. But the bond was never real to begin with. Let's talk about which attachment style the narcissist represents, shall we? As I mentioned earlier, while technically a narcissist might classify themselves under any of these categories, they're most typically identified as the dismissive avoidant attachment style, which is why they maintain a certain distance when it comes to their relationships and why they make you feel like you're unwanted or unneeded, even if they clearly depend on you completely for narcissistic supply and, well, anything else. The dismissive avoidance style leads to being overly self-reliant, or appearing to be that way, and downplaying the importance of relationships. But they're quite vulnerable when it comes to a big crisis, because they don't handle a crisis very well. Now, they may have a super inflated opinion of themselves, and they can be very critical and suspicious of other people, which makes their relationships pretty miserable for anyone involved. Now, this is where you're going to find the overt narcissist, or the more kind of in-your-face narcissist anyway. But the covert narcissist can actually fall into the avoidant fearful style, which seems a little counterintuitive since their victims can also fall into this category. So let's talk about the wild card attachment style, which is fearful avoidant. Many people who could be classified as codependent might fall into the fearful avoidant attachment style. As adults, fearful avoidant types might become overly dependent on their relationships. While they might have had similar experiences in childhood, the difference between whether someone becomes a narcissist or a more empathic type of codependent would depend on how they deal with their own childhood experience when they are the fearful avoidant type. In either case, those who could be classified as fearful avoidant, they tend to be absolutely terrified of rejection, and they are constantly dealing with inner conflict. They sometimes thrive on drama, and they are nearly always suffering from low self-esteem. They're definitely prone to anxiety when it comes to relationships, whether they're super clingy or they're constantly avoiding intimacy. So how is it that a codependent people pleaser could potentially fall into the same category as a covert narcissist? Well, it is the codependency factor. Both narcissists and their victims could be, according to psychologists, considered codependent because at its most basic level, codependency represents someone who has sort of lost themselves or never found it in the first place. Let's talk about the lost self in all of this. In other words, a codependent person has no connection to their innate self, or they've lost it if they had it before. Rather, probably due to being raised by toxic parents, they've learned to base their lives, as in their thinking and their behavior, around someone or something else outside of themselves. Now, this could be a person or a process or even a substance. For narcissists, the lack of connection to their true self can then lead to a connection with a sort of made-up self or an ideal self, the mask that we often talk about with narcissists wearing. In contrast, a people-pleaser might find their identity in getting approval from other people instead, or they might at least find value in themselves in this way. Otherwise, they feel worthless. Interestingly enough, narcissists in general are also thought to be emotionally immature. Like I've said before, they tend to be emotional toddlers, right? That's because when an infant is cared for by its mother, it does not think about the mother's needs at all, and that's very normal. It's expected. Most people do start to develop this awareness of the needs or feelings of other people on at least a basic level by the age of 2 or 3. Now, narcissists, they never develop it fully. So in some cases, even people who had really attentive parents can become narcissists, especially when their parents did not actively teach them empathy. Not everyone thinks of that. So what does all this mean? Are you just doomed to a life of miserable relationships if you don't have the secure attachment style? Well, I've got a little hope for you. As someone who's gone through narcissistic abuse, you'll be thrilled to know that there's something called Earned Secure Attachment. That is good news because there is hope for you yet. Like I've been telling you for years, it is possible to heal from narcissistic abuse and to create the life that you want. And studies confirm this, telling us that with intentional healing and focusing on creating the life that you want, you actually can develop something called earned secure attachment. At its most basic level, that means that you can sort of build a new attachment style that is healthier and better for you on every level. So in other words, it means you've done the work, you've managed to deal with and heal from any dysfunctional parenting or trauma you had growing up. Even better, you can do this at any age. Yeah, it's about taking the time to understand sort of where you came from and working to rewrite your story in the process. I have talked about this in great detail, so if you are interested in learning more about this, just take a peek at the video I'm going to leave for you right here. It'll help you understand all of it and kind of start you on the journey. Now it's time for the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you looked into attachment theory before? Where do you think you fall into these categories? And where do you see the narcissist in your life among them? Do you have anything else to share about attachment theory? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, and share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life, and hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you right there and right there. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button right there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.